Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name this morning. I'm glad for your presence, each of your presence here today. Some of you have been gone. Welcome back home again. It's a nice, beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. A beautiful day to gather together in the house of the Lord. We appreciate sunshine. I'm a person that enjoys sunshine. Very much affected by light and darkness. Somehow it seems like in the wintertime when it's dark longer in the morning, it's harder to wake up as early as what I do in the summertime. When the natural light comes in, it's easier for us to, at least for me, it's easier to wake up. We know that's in the natural sense. I guess I feel like I would have a hard time living in the extreme north where it's dark so much of the time. Anyway, I'm glad for the day that we have and the sunshine that we have. This morning, as you may have already guessed, I want to talk about light. I've taken my text from Matthew chapter 5. You can turn with me there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16. Make a few comments, first of all, before we read that. But the title for the message this morning is, Ye Are the Light of the World. I'd like to ask one of you younger school children, maybe one of you who were in the first or second grade this past year, what day did God create light? Can someone tell me, what day did God create light? He said, or the verse says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Which day of the creation was that? Can someone tell me? Anyone? One of you girls up here? Can you tell me? How about one of you boys? Anyone? Jesse or Jamie, do you know? You remember? What about you, Bradley? You don't remember? All right. How about one of you older ones? What day did God create light? All right, the first day. Maybe we should go back and read Genesis 1. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then in some of the verses, I think verse 2 even talks about that, how God divided the darkness from the light. Not sure exactly how it says that, but it was the first day. The light was created the first day of the creation. That is what separated day and night. So when we think about light in the natural sense, and you think about life in the world, imagine a world without light. Think a bit about that. Again, you children, think about what it would be like to not have any light. To not have any sunshine, not have light where we could see. That wouldn't be very fun, would it? Where it's all darkness. I guess you could close your eyes for a little bit, and that would give you a little bit of an idea what it would be like if there was not light. Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning, is being a light. Think about what all comes from light. Again, we're going to think about this just a bit in the natural sense. What all comes from light? You know, if there was not light, kind of said this already, but we couldn't see our surroundings. We couldn't see the person that is sitting beside us this morning. We're outside. We couldn't see where we were going if we wouldn't have light. Light illuminates, in other words, brightens up are surrounding, the area that we are in. Whereas if it is dark in the night, you cannot see. Light is what brings color to the world around us. We see colors because of light. Well, did you know that life is also supported by light? Life, living things, is supported by light. Light is how plants grow. That is how they get their food. They use a process of photosynthesis, if I said that right, to create the food that plants need to grow. And all of animal life gets its life from the plant life, for the most part anyway. And so it all comes back to the light as being the source of life. Let's remember that. Humans, even if we could eat and get our source of strength from the plants, without life, we would still not be very healthy, because our bodies need light to produce, what is it, vitamin D, I guess, which is necessary for us. The water cycle of the earth is affected or is fueled by light, by the rays of the sun. Without the rays of the sun, there would be no water cycle. The light from the sun provides warmth. We know that. The sun gives warmth. It regulates the temperature of the earth. Sunlight also, in a sense, sterilizes and kills germs. It dries things out, and in the absence of moisture, germs cannot live. So sunlight sterilizes. Thinking of other lights, lights that we maybe call artificial lights. Artificial light can illuminate an area. It also guides. When we think about lighthouses. Think about the buoys out there in the channel of the river that mark the path. Those lights maybe do not necessarily illuminate an area, but they provide a guiding light. Did you know that light also communicates? Think about traffic signals. You go to town and you have a traffic light. That light, whether it's red or yellow or green, it communicates something. We go down here in Chihuahua, go past the park. There's a flashing yellow light. What does that mean? Well, it means caution. You're in a school zone. So lights communicate something to us. They've also harnessed light in fiber optics to where they can communicate so much faster than they can with electronic signals. Found that interesting. And so light, as we think of it in the natural sense, is a very integral part of our lives. Let's keep that in mind as we go through the message about light being a very important part. Okay, Matthew 5, if you've turned there, let's read Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, Jesus, as he begins Matthew 5, he starts out, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he's blessing all the different attributes of a Christian, a person who is modeled after Christ. And then he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, and also ye are the light of the world." And then in the next two chapters, the remainder of chapter 5 and Matthew 6 and Matthew 7, through this through the whole discourse of the Sermon on the Mount, I believe he spells out how we can be a light, how we are lights, and the practical aspects of that. In John chapter 8, Jesus said of himself, he said, "I am the light of the world." John 8, verse 12, I believe it is. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the life, but shall have the light of life." And so, in John, he says, "I am the light of the world." But here in Matthew 5, he says, "You are the light of the world." So as we think about that, was Jesus contradicting himself in these two different passages? I don't think so. In John 1, as John begins writing about Jesus, he says, let's just turn to that, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, I believe it is. John 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And then he talks about John the Baptist. Reading on verse 6, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," speaking of John the Baptist, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So we see in John that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light. As the Creator, Jesus created the natural light. And God, he is also the spiritual light. But he is the light of the world. In John 9, verse 5, he says, "As long as I am in the world," now Jesus here was talking about himself, he says, "I am the light of the world." So again, Jesus is the light of the world. I believe this verse also infers of a time when Jesus will not be here, and that while Jesus is gone, that while he is a light of the world, his light is not present as in a physical sense. His light is not present in a physical sense like it was when he was here on earth. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus when he said, Isaiah 9 verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." This world, due to the fall of darkness, and it is a great darkness. Isaiah, I believe, is talking about that. The people that sat in darkness, that walked in darkness, have seen a great light. He's talking about the coming of Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, but while he is gone, he's saying, "Ye are the light of the world." We are lights to the world around us. You know, thinking about the source of our lights, this morning we are only lights while we have the light of Jesus in our lives. It is the only way that we can be a light that he wants us to be. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," he is not talking about the source of light. The source of light does not come from myself. The source of light comes from Jesus. Our lives are reflections of him. They are to be reflections of him. When Jesus walked on earth, I believe in a sense you can liken that to the daylight. While he was here, he was the source of light. He was light. Jesus himself is no longer walking on this earth. We are to be the reflection, the reflections of him. I'm thinking about reflections. Again, in the natural sense, we have the moon. We have the planets. They provide light. They provide light to the world around us. When it's full moon, we can go outside and it's very bright. But you know, that moon does not get light from itself. The moon is not the real source of light. It reflects the light of the sun. And that is how we are to be today, reflecting the light of God within us. We are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He is talking about the gospel that is lived out in their lives and how that it gives light to those around them. It says in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light is not of ourselves, but as God has shined into our hearts and our lives." So I would like to look at how do we let our light shine. A number of things that I thought about, I'd like for us to consider this morning. How do we let our light shine? First of all, I believe we need to remember that our light only comes from God. And we've brought that out already. I'm talking about the true source of light. Our light only comes from God. If we feel that my light is coming from myself, in other words, it is my goodness that is what is a light to the world, then we are not reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. I believe we need to keep it in focus, or we need to remember that we are, again, only reflecting the light, reflecting God's light within us. We must get our strength and our source from God. Like the moon and the planets, we are a reflecting body, not the source, but reflecting the light of Jesus to others. Our goal and our aim is that our light would draw attention to Jesus. Our light should draw attention to him, not ourselves, not to the church here at Pine Grove, but to God. When people see that light, it should point them to him. There is a quote that I heard one time that I had written down. It was directed especially to young ladies, but I believe it applies to all of us here. And the quote was this: "As children of the King, our purpose is not to turn heads, but to turn people's hearts towards the King." I like that quote. Our purpose is not to turn heads to ourselves, but to turn people's hearts towards the King. That is the tendency, I believe, within each one of us. Maybe some to more of a degree than others, I'm not sure, but there is that tendency within man, within the flesh, to want to draw attention to ourselves. We like to be noticed. And it doesn't matter which side of the house it's on. We like to be noticed. We like to do things that stand out. But you know, as children of God, as lights of His, our purpose is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to the source of light, to draw attention to Christ Himself. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, when Jesus said this, he did not say that ye are the lights of the world, but he said, ye are the light of the world, a single light. And then he goes on and talks about a city. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, as individuals, together we make up a city. Many people make up a congregation. He refers to that as one light. And so our light is to shine collectively as a body of believers. You know, many lights together make a city. When you're driving through the country in the dark, especially if you're in an area where there are not very many people and it's dark all around you, and over here you see a light where someone is living, or over here you see another light, and up ahead you see a glow in the sky, and you know there is a city coming up where there are a lot of people. Well, that is the reference that Jesus is referring to. His desire is that we shine, that we are shining lights together as a body of believers, collectively, not to be little pinpricks in the dark. Now, I recognize that there are times that individuals are called to lonely places, if you please, in the dark. They are possibly placed there alone for a time where it seems like they are but a pinprick in the surrounding darkness. But our desire and our goal should be to shine with other people. Many lights together make a city, make this city that Jesus is talking about here in these verses. And when you think about the gospel and you think about the church, it all focuses. The general focus is towards a collective body of believers, towards a collective faith. Even God himself is not individualistic. We have the Trinity. When God at creation, he didn't say, "I'm going to make man." He said, "Let us make man." We have the concept of community all through Scripture, all through the Bible. We have this concept of collectively worshiping God. Now, we do have a personal, individual responsibility. We understand that. We know that. We have that. But as we fit into the brotherhood, as we collectively serve God together, then we are the light that I believe he is talking about here in Matthew 5. All right, another way that our light is to shine. Our light shines by our love for one another. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." He brings out here the need to love one another, and how our love for one another tells other people that we are his disciples. It shines out to the world around us. When it shines out to the world around us, it doesn't bring focus on ourselves, but it brings focus on the source of love that we have through Jesus Christ, the source of love, God himself. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples," pointing back again to Jesus Christ, "if ye have loved one to another." John chapter 17, verse 21 brings out our next point of how we shine. This point, simply I have worded this way: "We also shine by our unity with each other and with Christ." Jesus, as he's speaking in this passage, John chapter 17, as he's praying, I believe this is what is called the high priestly prayer, and he's praying for the church. Verse 20 says, "Now I pray for these, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So he's praying for the disciples. He is also praying for the people that will believe through the word of the disciples. I believe he is praying for the entire church age. And he goes on to say that they all may be one, "as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." So he's praying for the unity of the church, for the unity of the body of believers. And then he says, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Again, we see here that fact is a light. Jesus is saying, through your unity, the world will believe that Jesus is God and that he is come. So, as we shine through our unity with Christ, we are a light of the world. But when there's not unity, when there is discord, I believe that light is scattered. We become as pinpricks, if you please. There's a scattering of the light. We have that aspect in Acts chapter 4, when after they had the Pentecost and all the believers came together. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." We see the unity of the believers. When they had a unified goal to serve, they had all things common. We see how the church just, my own words, how the church exploded in those days around that time. It grew. It grew by big numbers. And I believe a large factor was due to the unity of the believers at that point that people saw. It was a light. It was a testimony. There was a drawing factor about that. All right, another point. How do we shine? We shine by doing righteousness. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Sorry, maybe I started reading here too quickly. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." So here he uses maybe the opposite to bring out the point he says, "In this the children of God are manifest." Manifest means to make plain, to make open, to be clearly visible or obvious. We are made manifest that we are Christians. Again, it's made plain, it's made obvious, it's made open that we are Christians by doing righteousness. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." But then the opposite. If we do righteousness and we love our brother, again, it is a way that we are making manifest that we are the children of God. Another point, another way of shining, we shine by working out our salvation in fear and trembling. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 through 15. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." As we work out our salvation, then we shine as lights to the world. No, we do not work to secure our salvation, but we work out our salvation as a result of that which is within us, as a result of our salvation. We shine in that way. All right, we need to quickly move on. Another point, we shine as we flourish where God has placed us. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all the different members of the body, how they are all important. The foot cannot say that I'm not the hand, so I'm not of the body. Because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body. But that they all have been made together to fulfill the work of God. God has given us all different places, different corners, if you please, to shine in. We have the children's song that says, "Brighten the corner where you are." This morning, we shine as we flourish right where God has placed us. But if we rebel against where God has put, or we chafe under that, then I don't believe that we will shine as God intended for us to do. God has placed us in different parts, in different places. We're in different places in our community. We all have a way to shine where we live. All of us right here have different ways that we can interact with the community around us. We have different opportunities, and that's good. Let's use the location where we live to shine right where we are. We all have differing roles in our occupations. Some of you are in positions where you can influence a lot of people. Some people just quietly fulfill their role in the background. Again, that's good. That's right. As we do that, to the honor and glory of God, as we are open to His direction in our life. But you know, where you are placed, where you are called, where each one of us are called, the place that we're called, you can shine. We all can shine. And if we chafe under that, I don't believe that we are shining for Him. We all have different social statuses, if you please. And I hesitate to use that word, because should there really be statuses and classes, you know, in different cultures? Excuse me, in different cultures, that is probably more prevalent. But it is true that in a sense, we have different social statuses. We all have different places in our groups, but we can all shine, in the place where we are. And if we try to be someone that we are not, or if we try to fit ourselves into a different place, then I question whether our light can effectively shine. But again, as we fulfill our place, as we shine where we are, then we can create a true light. In our church involvements, you know, some church involvements are hidden. Some church involvements are more visible. But we shine where we are. We shine where God has placed us again. Faithfulness in our station of life, I believe, is a very real aspect in letting our light, God's light, shine. Faithfulness where God has called us. And when God calls you to a different position, a different aspect in life, then shine where He puts you. Shine where He has put you. Back to Matthew 5 again. He talks about hiding your light under a bushel. Verse 15 says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." If you put something over top of a candle, what happens? Well, it doesn't last very long. It soon goes out. If the oxygen is taken away, the light goes out. You know, in a spiritual sense, we can put something over top of our light. That is possible. We can put something over top of our light, but the light will suffer. It will have an effect on the light. It will grow dim. It probably will go out. Our light is designed to shine to the world around us. And there are things that we can do that, in effect, put a bushel over the light. Talk about some of the opposite of the things that we already talked about. The lack of love. The opposite of a lot of those things that we saw that create light. Lack of love. Individualism. The opposite of the Beatitudes. That is all. Putting a bushel, if you please. Putting something over our light. Verse 13. Going on here. Verse 13 says, Matthew 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." You know, we haven't really talked about the salt part of it this morning, but that goes with it. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Now, salt in itself, if you look at the chemistry of salt, Salt does not lose its savor. If you look at the chemistry of salt, it is, I believe it's what we call sodium chloride, and that is what they call a stable compound. It's not a compound that breaks down over time. Think of iron, how iron rusts. It breaks down. Iron will react with oxygen, and it will rust. Wood will react with oxygen, and it will eventually decay. But sodium chloride does not break down over time. But what happens when there's dilution? What happens when there's things mixed in with salt? If salt is diluted, it loses its effectiveness. If salt is diluted, it will lose its saltiness. Or if it is contaminated. As I think about that, as we let the light shine to the world around us, we let the light of the gospel shine through us, we need to let the pure light of the gospel, not diluted, not a watered-down version of the gospel. We water it down when we, well, there's lots of different ways that we can water down the gospel, water down that light. We water it down when we minimize the discipleship that goes with the gospel of Christ. When we minimize the commitment, we water down the gospel. Or when we contaminate it. As we think about the light of the church as collective light, and you have sin within the church, guess what? The salt is being contaminated. You are contaminating the light. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And as we think about contamination, contaminating the light of the gospel, he says, if thine eye be evil, your whole body is full of darkness. And if that light is darkness, how great is that darkness? It brings out the thought that if our light, what is supposed to be the light of the gospel, if there is darkness in it, you know what? It's darker than darkness. It's dark. We hide our light by hating our brother. The opposite of love. 1 John 2, verse 9, and other verses bring this clear. 1 John 2, verse 9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So as we let our light shine, verse 16 says, again, back in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So what should be the effect of our light? It says that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our good works are not the light. Rather, again, the light of Jesus shining on those good works glorifies God. When the light of Jesus is shining brightly through us, then we illuminate the darkness that is around us. We expose the filth of sin that is around us. I believe that should happen. Our lives should do that, that we expose, that the light of God within us should expose the evil that is present, the evil that is around us. We also, as we are a shining light, will serve as a guide, to guide searching people to Christ and to the cross. When our light shines, we will promote growth in the lives of our fellow believers. When our light shines, we will give warmth to Christian fellowship. When our light shines, we will give warmth to those who are feeling the coldness of sin, the coldness of rejection and loneliness. But most importantly, God is glorified. And that is the goal for each one of us, that we would glorify God through our lives. Let's kneel for prayer. Kind Father, we pause in your presence. We thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for the